Good morning. It is good to be with you. You can open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, and it's been just wonderful being with you this week, and not only for me, but the folks that travel with me, and Billy, as you heard. The one announcement he had was for me to introduce the folks that came with me, so I'm going to do that now, and just the folks that came with me, raise their hand. So these are members of the church where we are a part of, and these are dear saints in our church. And I said this yesterday, a pastor loves his people, and I love these folks, and they've done a great job serving this weekend. So Jocelyn Whippen, Patty Heidergren, Aaron Redano, Rick Orlando, and Dan Welsh. And we were up here after we were praying for the Bellamys, and when we heard that Billy might do jiu-jitsu with the Bellamy kids, we thought, we're going to change our flights and stay for that. Man, we would pay to see that. So we might be around. Who knows? Let's see. We'll see how it works out. I've said this to the folks that were here yesterday, Friday night and yesterday, but I want to tell the entire church yet again. I want you to hear my gratitude for Sovereign Grace Church of Midland to be a part of our family of churches. You are an important family member, to say it that way. And you strengthen us in many ways. Your gospel presence here in the Midland area, your commitment to preach the gospel from this pulpit or Billy's pulpit, your devotion to apply the gospel to yourself and to grow in Christ, your passion to reach out to the lost who don't know Christ with the good news of Jesus Christ. All of those might seem like ordinary things to you, but they're extraordinary things in the sight of God because they are evidences of His work and grace in your life. And when you do that, you're doing it as a Sovereign Grace Church who with other churches throughout the world are endeavoring to do the same thing. So when we're all doing that together with a zeal for Christ, that strengthens a denomination and a family of churches. So thank you. Thank you for the way you have built a gospel-centered church. And then just your involvement in partnership in this region. How many guys went to the men's retreat from Midland? Probably, yeah, thank you. That's over 525 miles, I think I heard something like that. That's a long way if you drove. Even if you flew, it's a trip. So thank you for your commitment to join other men to grow in Christ. What you've done as a church to invest into Nepal and to care for our friends in Nepal, Barnabas and the pastors he's working with there, that's another expression of how you are strengthening our small family of churches. So that's why I primarily wanted to come. Thank you. I wanted to look you each in the eye and thank you for strengthening our family of churches and being a part of Sovereign Grace. Well, as Billy mentioned, we've had a wonderful weekend together. And we've benefited. You should know, we leave times like this heading back to Philadelphia not just feeling like knowing we benefited more in many ways. We learn from you, and we get to see how God is at work in your life, and that greatly encourages us. In other words, this weekend is another expression of partnership that we have shared together. And Friday night and yesterday, we looked at the Bible. We looked at 1 Corinthians 14 in particular, and what that passage says about the gifts of the Spirit. And you might think, why devote an entire weekend or to continuationism, to the use of the gifts? Well, here's why. You as a church and we as a family of churches, we define ourselves in terms of our pneumatology as continuationists, meaning we believe the gifts are to continue to be used today until Christ returns. In fact, we say it this way in our statement of faith. The full range of spiritual gifts remains at work in the church and are given for the good of the church and its witness to the world. We are therefore to earnestly desire and practice them until Christ returns. So to effectively use your gifts for the good of Sovereign Grace Church of Midland, and for the witness of Sovereign Grace Church of Midland, you need the Spirit. We all need the Spirit, and we need the Spirit's leading, and we need His power. So this morning, we're gonna basically look at one verse in Ephesians 5 that tells us, that calls us, and I'm going to show you, even commands us to be filled with the Spirit, because that command by God in Ephesians 5:18 is given to us in part to meet our need for God's power and the Spirit's help. The title of this sermon is Be Filled with the Spirit. Jocelyn wouldn't know what she shared from the mic a few moments ago, reading from Isaiah 55. Come those who thirst. And as I was praying for the sermon this morning, that's how I prayed. That's what I believe God had placed on my heart, that some are thirsty, that you hunger for Christ, and the Lord is going to meet your need today just simply by filling you with His Spirit. And it was, as Stephen even said in exhorting us to see Christ, some of you are here and you thirst for Him, but you don't know Him as Lord and Savior. And today, may the work of the Spirit be a regenerating work where you realize your need for a Savior. And as even Jocelyn said from the mic, you repent of your sins and place your faith in Christ. The Bible says if you will call upon His name, you will be saved. And so call upon His name today. Okay, Ephesians 5, we're going to be reading verses 15 through 21. A little bit of a focus on verse 18. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. May God bless the preaching of His Word. The folks that travel with me from Covenant Fellowship, we probably take, I don't know, two or three trips a year when other churches invite us and to really join you on what you've enjoyed this weekend. There was just a few years ago, we were taking a trip to Denver to serve one of the Sovereign Grace churches in Denver, Grace Community Church in Westminster, Colorado. So several of us, we flew from Philadelphia, we landed in Denver, and to get from the gate, out to the main terminal where we were going to get our rental car, we needed to get on this tram. And so we were all walking on this tram. There's probably four or five people with me. And one of them, Phil Sorencione, was lagging a little bit behind. So all of us got on the tram, and he was making his way, and he was about to step on when there was that voice that comes over the loudspeaker, "Stay away from the doors, for they are about to close." Are you familiar with that? If you've been in those kinds of airports? Well, Phil either didn't hear it or simply, I think, just ignored that command. He ignored that command to steer clear of the doors. And as he walked onto the tram, the doors closed. And the suitcase that he was carrying with him jammed into the doors. And so the alarm kind of goes off, and I forget what the voice was saying over the speaker. To make it even worse, Phil's kind of a big guy, and for some reason, he brought his daughter's little pink suitcase with him. So this was quite a picture that we had there in the Denver airport. So who were traveling with him, we just kind of stepped over this way, away from him, and I forget what the commands over the speaker were, that the doors were going to... Anyway, we were being delayed. That's the point. because a command was being ignored. People that are other people on the tram, they are staring at him like, what is wrong with you? I share that story with you because if we don't view commands as good, as meeting a need, like not trapping your daughter's suitcase in the tram door, we can disregard them, as Phil disregarded that command. See, be filled with the Spirit here in verse 18 is a command that is not to be disregarded. We know it's a command because the language used there in verse 18 is written in the imperative mood, which means that it is a command and it is a good command that meets our need. God does that. He gives us commands simply not for our obedience, but because he knows that we need those commands. And we need to follow those commands because they meet a need that we have. So at our conversion, when we are born again, we are indwelt with the Spirit of God. You saw that in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3. That's a reference to the regenerating work of the Spirit. For it is only by the Spirit of God we can declare Jesus as Lord. That's what it says there in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3. But it's clear from this verse that even though we are indwelt with the Spirit at conversion, we have this daily need to be filled with the Spirit. And we know that because the language used here in verse 18 is not only written in the imperative mood, making a command, it is written in present tense language. You see that there in the verse. Be filled. It's present tense. So what Paul is saying is he doesn't seem to think that a Christian can be too full of the Spirit. Rather, the present tense language that he uses, inspired by the Spirit of God as he writes it, assumes that we need more of the Spirit each and every day. For the believer, being filled with the Spirit is not a one-time event, but a continuous, ongoing, daily need. And so therefore, God commands us, be filled with the Spirit. Richard Gaffin says this: this command is relevant to all believers throughout the whole of their lives. No believer may presume to have experienced a definitive filling of the Holy Spirit so that the command of verse 18 no longer applies. Short of death or the Lord's return, it continues in effect for every believer. Now, I share that quote in part because Richard Gaffin is a cessationist. Richard Gaffin doesn't believe the gifts continue today. He is a brother in Christ, and we will enjoy eternity with him. But we agree with him on this as continuationists. We agree that we can't be too full of the Spirit, that this is a command for the rest of our lives. We are commanded by God to be filled with the Spirit often, daily, continuously, because this command meets a need that we have. And so let me ask you, are you aware of your daily need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? So with this command in view, we're going to answer three questions. Here's the three questions. Number one, why do we need to be filled with the Spirit? Number two, what is the effect of being filled with the Spirit? And number three, how may we be filled with the Spirit? So here's the first question. Why do we need to be filled with the Spirit? So even though the Spirit dwells within us, when we become believers, we see here in verse 18 that we need to be regularly filled with the Spirit to meet, in part, a part of the Spirit's work is to meet our need. And I think this emerges out of the letter to the Ephesians. Because there are, if you count them, there are 12 references to the Holy Spirit in this letter. And they reveal, all of them really reveal our need for the Spirit's presence and work in our lives. So I'm just going to give you a few examples of those, okay? The presence of the Spirit in our lives meets our need to have as it says in chapter 1, verse 13, a guarantee of our eternal inheritance until we acquire possession of it. That's Ephesians 1, verse 13. In other words, you and I, we need the Spirit's power and the Spirit's presence to get us safely home. We even sang that in one of the lyrics this morning. It is the Spirit that gives us wisdom, meeting our daily need for God's wisdom when we ask for it in prayer, which is what Paul prayed for in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. We have a daily need for God's wisdom. I know I do. And that need is met when we are filled with the Spirit and we pray for wisdom. It is in Christ that this church, Sovereign Grace Church of Midland, is being built together in unity as a dwelling place for God by or in the Holy Spirit. It says in Ephesians 2, verse 22. So your church's need to have ongoing unity requires the presence and the work of the Spirit, because that's the work of the Spirit does in the local church. It is through the Spirit that we receive God's power when we pray for it, to meet our daily need, to know the length and the depth and the height and the breadth of how much Jesus Christ loves us. That's a prayer in Ephesians 3, verse 16. And as we've seen throughout this weekend, we need the Spirit's power to use our spiritual gifts. We know that from 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. And we are to pray at all times in the Spirit, is what Ephesians 6, 19 says. And the reason that we are to pray all times in the Spirit is so that we will persevere in courageously and boldly sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see that in Ephesians 6, verse 19. See, these references to the Spirit here in Ephesians, those are just a few. They tell us that God has this good command in Ephesians 5, 18, for us to be filled with the Spirit so that we can do this. We can live the Christian life, we can serve the church, and we can be an effective gospel witness. And persevering in all of those things until we reach our eternal home. In other words, all that we do, in all that we do as believers, we need the work and the power and the presence of the Spirit of God. So let me ask you, after that brief survey, are you aware of your need? Are you aware of your need of the Spirit's filling and presence in your life? Now, did you note in the command there in verse 18 this contrast? There's a contrast that Paul intentionally uses. He contrasts being drunk with wine to being filled with the Spirit. In other words, Paul is asking, what is influencing you? And what is controlling you? Either you are being influenced by the wine that you have drank, or you are being influenced by the Spirit that has filled you. See, we are to be filled by the Spirit because we have this ongoing need to be influenced by the Spirit of God in the way that we live our lives, so that we can live lives that are growing in Christ's conformity and in joy. The influence of the Spirit in our lives, by the way, is not some ecstatic event. He's not referring to that. Rather, the context tells us something different. The influence of the Spirit in our lives, we know that we have the Spirit because there is an effect that is moral in nature, resulting both in spiritual and relational fruit. Spiritual fruit in the sense that the Spirit influences us and empowers us to be imitators of God. Ephesians 5, verse 1. To walk in love. Ephesians 5, verse 2. And to walk not as unwise, but as wise. Ephesians 5, verse 15. You and I, we can't do that apart from the Spirit and apart from the Spirit's help. The Spirit of God works in a way that meets the need we have to live lives that please God and bring glory to God. And then there's relational fruit. Relational fruit in the sense that when we are filled with the Spirit. Notice the one another's in verse 19. We address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And we even submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's in verse 21. In other words, we are to be people who are so given over to the Spirit that the influence of the Spirit in our lives is obvious as those who maybe have drank too much wine. That's what Paul is saying in those verses. You know, one of the things that has affected me and the folks that have traveled with me as we've spent time with you this weekend is your evident joy. You are a joyful people. You really are. And the other thing that stands out to us is not only your evident joy, your clear desire to know more of Christ and to be more like Christ. That's affected us. We will go home different because of your example. What is the explanation for that? I believe it is the result of the Spirit of God living in you. It is the work of the Spirit of God daily in your life that transforms you and gives you this joy. It gives you this passion for Christ. That's extraordinary. Only God can do that kind of work. We're not that good. We're not that strong. We're not that powerful. But we have the Spirit of God. And we daily need more of the Spirit of God. I really do believe you're going to have more people join your church because of your evident joy and because of your heart for Christ. And they're going to experience a Spirit-filled people. Greg Allison and Andres Kostenberger, in their wonderful book on the Holy Spirit, says the expected or intended response to this command is for Christians to yield to the Holy Spirit, to be controlled, pervaded, or permeated by the Spirit in all their ways, to consciously place themselves under the guidance of the Spirit moment by moment. May you, Sovereign Grace Church Midland, be a people who are permeated by the Spirit in every moment of your lives and in all your ways. Now, note also there in verse 18, Paul doesn't say, be full of the Spirit. Doesn't say, be full, which is more past tense, right? He says, be filled with the Spirit. So he's saying, you can't be full of the Spirit as though one would be full of wine. That's just not possible because he's not using that language. Rather, he says, be filled with the Spirit. And the emphasis then is on being filled with the Spirit's presence to the full. He wants you to have more of the Spirit. God wants us to have more of the Spirit, which is why he inspires Paul to write verse 18. And in light of Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3, verse 19, where he prays this, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So that prayer is echoing in our ears as we read Ephesians 5, 18, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Paul wants us to be filled with the Spirit so we can be full of God himself. That's what he desires for us. So if you're not aware of your need to be filled with the Spirit, consider for a moment this truth. God is infinite. God is unsearchable. God is unfathomable. We know him some, but there's so much more of God that we can know. And in light of who God is, no wonder God's people then need to be filled with the Spirit, because there's always more of God's presence that we need, that we can receive, and that we can enjoy. That's what Paul's saying. Oh, be filled, but be filled with more of God. A.M. Stibbs and J.I. Packer, they use this helpful analogy. This is what they say. Now imagine a doctor telling a patient that he is not using his lungs properly, and that he needs to learn to breathe more deeply. If the patient were like some seekers after the fullness of the Spirit, his immediate reaction would be to ask the doctor to produce his lung pump and properly fill his lungs with air for him then and there. But the doctor's prescription would be daily breathing exercises, by which he would himself learn to take in more air and thus gradually to increase his capacity for intake. Something similar applies to the Christian's experience of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. To the extent to which the Spirit actually penetrates and possesses every moment of our time, every corner of our lives, and every sphere of our thought and activity is always capable of enlargement. Why do we need to be filled with the Spirit? Because you and I, we want the Spirit to possess every moment of our lives, every aspect of our lives, so that we can benefit from the Spirit's influence as we receive more of the fullness of God. And for that reason, we will never be filled fully with the fullness of God, and we need the Spirit to fill us daily. That's why we need to be filled with the Spirit. That answers the first question. Here's the second question. What is the effect of being filled with the Spirit? Now, even though we are filled with the Spirit individually, contextually we find there in the text that the effect of being filled is actually a corporate one. It's a church one. Notice as we read verses 18 through 21, the one another's. There are two one another's there, one in 19 and one in verse 21. Look at verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So even though we need to be filled with the Spirit individually, the effect is a corporate one. In other words, the effect is this. It is a community of believers who address one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And part of that, by the way, is a reference to the preaching of God's Word. That's a part of what's being referenced there. But it's also a community that sings with joy and wholeheartedly to God as the Spirit fills them. It is a group of people known for their gratitude for all things at all times. And it is a community of people that is marked by a submission to one another out of reverence for Christ, meaning that you are not a demanding people of one another, is what it means. So just as it is obvious to others around that person who has drank too much wine in the way they conduct themselves, a community of believers is obviously filled with the Spirit by the way they conduct themselves, and it's seen how they relate to one another and to God. Gordon Fee says this, "Here then is the ultimate imperative in the Pauline corpus. God's people so filled with the Spirit's own presence that they come to know God in all His fullness and reflect in such a way that they live in relationship to one another and to God Himself." So your need as a church to live compelling lives together in unity and in joy and in service and gratitude, that need is met with the presence and power of the Spirit as you ask Him daily to fill your life. That is the effect of being filled with the Spirit, which leads to the third question. How may we be filled with the Spirit? So we're getting a little bit more practical here. In answering this question, I'll answer it from Ephesians, but I'm going to move outside of our text to answer the question as well. I'll stay within the Bible, but just outside of our text. Here's the first recommendation. Pursue living a holy life. Pursue living a holy life. As we look at Ephesians 5, 15 through 21, let's keep it connected to what's around it. And what you see At the end of chapter 4 here in Ephesians, is this call to live a holy life. And if we don't, we can actually grieve the Spirit of God. Now, that's the language used there. Ephesians 4, verses 26 through 32. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. So anger, corrupting talk, which we know is slander and gossip, bitterness, those things grieve the Spirit of God. That's what the text says. It's good to know that. It's good to be reminded of that, because this is a relevant text in our day. We live in a very polarized culture right now, don't we? It's an angry culture. It's a finger-pointing culture. It's a culture that doesn't speak well of one another. It's a culture that does not please God. And we are called to live differently than that. And one of the ways that we receive help from God to do that is to be filled with the Spirit, so that we live differently, so that we are not angry, but patient, that we use words that build up. We don't use gossip and slander that tear down, and that we are kind and loving towards others. See, pursuing a holy life, it not only pleases God, it better positions you to receive the Spirit of God. So pursue living a holy life. Number two, and we're going to move outside of the text on this one, walk by the Spirit. Paul says in Galatians 5, verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. So we got to understand the context of Galatians chapter 5. It's one where Paul says that we are to walk by the Spirit by not gratifying the desires of the flesh. Galatians 5:16. So similar teaching in both Galatians 5 and Ephesians 5. Rather, we are to produce the fruit of the Spirit. And you know what those are, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what the Christian life is to look like. And one of the ways that we walk by the Spirit is to pursue living a holy life. And as we progressively grow over years and over time in being more Christ-like, we actually produce this fruit of the Spirit in our lives as the Spirit's power works in us. This is what he's saying there in Galatians. J.I. Packer says it really well. Christians are meant to grow spiritually through and within and under the fullness of the Spirit's new covenant ministry. We need the Spirit to grow in Christ. And then he wraps up Galatians 5 by saying, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Meaning that we are people who are open to the Spirit's leading and promptings. We're aware of how the Spirit might interrupt our day and call us to do something we haven't planned. And we must be open to the Spirit's leading and promptings even when they don't make sense at times or are spontaneous in nature. We've experienced that this weekend, haven't we? For those that were here throughout the weekend, you receive just people praying for you and prophetic ministry that's spoken to your life by people who don't know you at all. Someone who was here yesterday told Billy that that time was very healing for them. And those prophetic words, they came from people that don't know this person, and yet the Spirit led them to share those words. There was a couple of words shared at the leaders' meeting on Friday night that, and I've said this throughout the week, I need to tell you again, when people travel with me, I don't tell them anything about Billy or Alan, any of the elders here. I don't tell them anything about your church that I know on purpose. Because on a weekend like this, I can be regularly asked, did you tell them? Because the words are very specific that people hear. And there were a couple of prophetic words on, in fact, we were boarding our flight in Philadelphia. And as we're boarding the plane, Dan is giving me this prophetic impression. And I said, well, yeah, be prepared to share that. And I just thought, that's got to be shared based a little bit that I knew. And I had him share that on Friday evening. He knew nothing. And he shared just about how the Lord was at work in drawing men and equipping men for the future. The future gospel ministry of this church was kind of the essence of the word. It greatly encouraged everyone there. It greatly encouraged the church, because not only is it what the Lord is doing, it says to you that he's going to continue good gospel ministry here for generations to come. That's a wonderful encouragement. All of that Dan didn't know. It's the unplanned work of the Spirit, because he was being led by the Spirit in the moment. And you know what? When you live a Christian life like that, the Christian life becomes a bit of an adventure, doesn't it? It's not as predictable, and it's a wonderful life. So if we are pursuing the Spirit's presence, if we are looking to be led by the Spirit, then we will be positioned to walk as the Spirit walks and see our need to be filled with the Spirit. Third recommendation, thirst for Jesus. Be a Christian that wants more of Christ. Thirst for Jesus. In the Gospel of John, we find this invitation given to the thirsty by Jesus himself. It says this in John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried, "If anyone thirsts, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So you know what those verses are. Those are verses that are pointing to the day of Pentecost, when after Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension and his glorification, his glory seen in the cross in particular, then on the day of Pentecost, what happens? The Spirit is poured out upon the disciples in that upper room. It's a wonderful day in redemptive history, because that prophecy in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29 is fulfilled. Pentecost is this unique day in redemptive history, because on that day the Spirit is poured out on all people, Jew and Gentile. The New Testament church is born, and the new covenant ministry of the Spirit is initiated. A wonderful day in redemptive history. And for you and I that live on the other side of the day of Pentecost, we know from John chapter 14, verse 17, that when we become a believer and we place our faith in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God is poured out upon us and indwells within us. And even though that Pentecost is a unique day in redemptive history, the principle here is still true. Meaning that as you thirst for Jesus, as you want more of Jesus, he meets your need by filling you with the Spirit. See, the more you are aware of your thirst, the more that you desire more of Christ, the more you will see your need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Here's why. One of the unique wonderful works of the Spirit is to point us to Christ. As we sang this morning, the Spirit is to work to show us more of Christ. J.I. Packer says this, "It is as if the Spirit stands behind us, throwing light over on Jesus who stands facing us. The Spirit's message is to us is never, look at me, listen to me, come to me, get to know me, but always, look at Him and see Him and see His glory. Get to know Him and hear His word. Go to Him and have life. Get to know Him and taste His gift of joy and peace." Don't you want more of Christ? Then thirst for Jesus and ask to be filled with the Spirit. Fourth recommendation, pray. Pray for the filling of the Spirit. Keep in mind, here in Ephesians, two of Paul's prayers are recorded. They're preserved for us. You see his first prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23, and the second prayer, Ephesians 3, verses 14 and through 21. And in both of those prayers, he references the Spirit of God. So Paul prays for wisdom in Ephesians 1, verse 17, "May the Father give you a spirit of wisdom," capital S, Spirit. In other words, we receive wisdom from God as the Spirit works in our lives. And then he also prays for power given through the Spirit there in Ephesians 3, verse 16. So, you know this, when the disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray," and he teaches them what? What's become known as the Lord's Prayer, right? That we pray that kind of prayer for God's kingdom to come, that He would provide for our daily bread, that we would ask for His help to resist and to flee temptation. You know that prayer. But after that prayer, in Luke chapter 11, in verse 13, a few verses later, after teaching them to pray, here's what Jesus says. "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" We are to ask the Father, who is good, ask the Father to fill us with the Holy Spirit. And if you study Luke 11, Luke 11 goes on to teach us that we are to be persistent in prayer as well, which means that we are to persist in asking our good Father to fill us daily with His Spirit. I don't know about you, but I daily feel my need for God's help. I do. Just begin as a parent. Parenting was one of the hardest things I've ever done. Parenting makes you aware of your dependence upon God. It's not my kids were so bad, it's just parenting's hard. Pastoral ministry, you face things each and every day that you just don't know what to do. You're leading Sovereign Grace. I don't know how many times I've said to Jeff Percival, what are we going to do? I said, I don't know. Well, we're going to pray. You ever feel that way? Just, I don't know what to do. You can be perplexed. You don't know a way forward. Don't waste those times. Don't waste your perplexing moments. Don't waste those despairing times. Rather, turn them into prayers. And ask the good Father to fill you with the Spirit. That the Spirit would give you wisdom. That the Spirit would give you power. That the Spirit would give you help. And you need, as we've been talking about this weekend, you need the Spirit's power to use your spiritual gifts. So pray for the Spirit to fill you. What we've enjoyed this weekend, man can't fabricate. We can't. We're not that good. The Spirit can. And we've experienced the Spirit this weekend. And so we need to ask for the Spirit's help. And lastly this, for those who are thirsty, don't leave here today without asking God, the Father, to fill you with His Spirit. This good command, let me close with this. This good command here in verse 18 is given to us because we have need of the Spirit's presence and influence and power and help in our lives. And our statement of faith, your statement of faith as a church says that. This is what it says. The Spirit also desires to fill God's people continually with increased power for Christian life and witness. To be filled with the Spirit is to be more fully under His influence, more aware of His presence, and more effective in His service. All Christians, therefore, must continually seek to be filled with the Spirit by living and praying in such a way that invites the Spirit's work among us. And I just want to end our time by praying and inviting the Spirit's work among us, His presence among us. I just want to pray that the Lord would fill us, each of us, with His Spirit. Lord, we thank You for the good commands that we see in Scripture. And we thank You for this command here in Ephesians 5:18, to be filled with the Spirit. And so we want to respond to that command by asking You, our good Father, through the blood of Jesus Christ. We know we can draw near to You and we can ask, and we know that You will be good. And so I pray, fill every Christian here with Your Spirit. Fill us, Lord, we pray, with Your Spirit. And I pray that for every member of this church, the Spirit's presence and power and work would permeate every corner of their life, that the Spirit would be at work at every moment of their life, especially those difficult moments. And I pray the Spirit would work in every Christian's heart in Sovereign Grace Church of Midland to grow in Christ. We pray, Holy Spirit, show us more of Christ. And I pray that one of the effects would be that the joy, the ongoing joy that this church has, may it be a part of this church's culture for years to come. All for the glory of Jesus, we pray. Amen.